I got a message as encouragement today, this morning, from a dear brother. Walk with the King today. So praise God. Let's hope His Holy Spirit will guide my way as we walk with the King. Yeah, there's four things that we do when we pray. We probably do it automatically. But it may be just a reminder, and it may just to our advantage to know that maybe something we take heed to a little bit more than we've been doing. So, but before we start, let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father, I thank you again for this new day in our lives. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide this servant to be his mouthpiece and reveal the gold nuggets you want us to learn. Lord, we love you. We thank you. I thank you for the honor to do this, Lord. I just pray that your Spirit will just guide my way. We love you and we thank you. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Now, if I were going to name this title to this message today, it would be four requirements we should know before we pray. And the first requirement is praying in the purity of heart. You know, when I was ready to do this, a couple of brothers got up and were talking. They were talking some of the what I was going to say here. They must have looked at my message. I don't know, but so it was kind of nice to hear it though. But praying in the purity of heart. That's our first start when we're going to pray. And let's look at 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow, it's nice to be cleansed, I'll tell you. But there's always a but. And it says, but if we have perpetual sin and do not turn away from that sin, the Lord will not hear. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. You must turn away from that sin. You know, we all got hang-ups. We all got maybe a predominant sin that we have trouble with. And we got to confess it. We got to get it out of our system. I got something written here, and if I could see, I got fairly good penmanship, but I don't know if you can make this out or not. So I'm sure that we know that sin will hinder our relationship with the good Lord. So we want to get that relationship together and not be isolated from sin. James 4:8 says, draw nearer to God, and he will draw nearer to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, I like to say for people with double-minded, and probably speaking for myself at times, I guess, is a person that talks out of both corners of their mouth. They say one thing and do something else. Proverbs 30:12 says, there's a generation that's pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. Like taking sin lightly. I got a quote, and that's probably from my son. Like taking a bath and never get clean. I kind of like that, you know. So we got to self-examine ourselves. You know, I used to take prayer very lightly at one time. And I can remember saying, when I pray, Lord, I pray against you in thought, word, and deed. Just run through the prayer and not probably have sincerity where I should have or something like that. And if you think about it, you should dwell on it a little bit too. What are you thinking about and trying to get those thoughts out of your mind? And the words you say. I like to make people laugh and stuff like that at times. But sometimes when you try to make people laugh, is that you say something, gee, I wish I didn't say that. That probably hurt his feelings or something like that. So when you're reminded of it, you go to the person and say, hope they understand it. it was just a joke. Deed could be anything that could be negative, blaspheming or putting somebody else down or something. So you got to be careful. You got to self-examine yourself when you pray. Let's see what I got here. It says, and also when I just was mentioning that, or did I get to that yet? Just one second here. Yeah, the generation. I didn't get to that yet either. I guess not. Proverbs 30:12 says, there's a generation that's pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. Oh, yes, I did say that. And weren't we that generation at one time? We were pure in our own eyes. We took sin lightly. And I confess my sins. I'm all set. And then go out and do the same sin over again. And a person that's I've been praying to the Lord for the last 6 months. He hasn't been answering my prayer. Well, maybe, like I say, there's a little self-examination got going on there, that maybe you got a sin that you're hiding off to the side and you're not confessing it to the Lord, because you must turn away from the sin. What good is confessing a sin and knowing in your heart you are going to repeat that sin over and over again? God is not going to hear your prayers. You must always turn away from the sin. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And when you confess, you are humbling yourself in the Lord. But make a good confession. Tell it like it is. Take it on the chin. Don't be afraid to ask for the Holy Spirit for help. And you can't put on airs with the Lord and say, oh, because the guys were there, or the women were there, or whatever the case, you shouldn't have been there. So you got to tell us confess your sins like you should. And you can't blame anybody else. You're the only one who's going to stand before the Lord someday and give an account of yourself. And of myself, too, I'm telling. Here's a psalm that I guess it was David that said, it just is a great psalm, because we probably should be all saying it, for one thing, because it really, you know, we could analyze anything in life, we could appraise anything in life, but when it comes to us, we don't quite like people appraising us or telling us what that, there's things we know that we push off to the side that we don't want to really touch. But this, I love this psalm, because this is real. You're really humbling yourself when you say this psalm. Psalm 139:23 said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. That's deep. That's really telling God to purge you. And when you're asking God to purge you, you know, those are the things that you push off to the side, that he puts it in the forefront. Marty, you got to make a little adjustment here or a little adjustment there. The things that you don't quite want to touch. So that's a good prayer for all of us, is to pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So the bottom line here is, on the first requirement, is purify your heart before you make your request. Second requirement is, if I got the right page, believe. Believe in your prayers. Believe that you're going to receive what you ask for. In Matthew 21:22 says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. There's promises right there. But let's go to the but. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And what's that remind you? Not being in a boat now. That reminds you, doesn't that remind you of being double-minded, saying one thing and doing something else? And where doubt came in, doubt started in the Garden of Eden when the Lord told Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, or you will surely die. That was in Genesis 2. And in Genesis 3, you know, you got to watch out for deception. I'm going to say that in a second. Getting ahead of myself. In Genesis 3, 4, it says, then the serpent said to the woman, you won't surely die. And what's the first thing that happened? First of all, deception. And deception is what we should be watching out for, especially today, anytime. Watch out for deception. I got a little quote here for deception. A rosy-looking apple may be rotten at the core. Watch out for deception. And here, Eve, in fact, let me go right here, it says, don't ever doubt God's word. That was the fall of man, was doubt. Eve went to her husband and convinced him to partake of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And all of a sudden, here's two perfect people, knew no sin, with God and everything, it fell right down to a sin nature, which we have because of fallen man. And I was thinking, how could they psychologically take that fall, being perfect, and all of a sudden they're down to the sin? Never knew what sin was. They had to put the fig leaves on and all this. And the thing is, I said, oh, maybe, you know, of course, this was God's plan anyhow. But the thing is, how could you make a recovery from that, being perfect and not know anymore? And I was thinking, well, they knew what it was to be perfect. We know the definition of being perfect or perfection, but we never felt perfect. But they felt perfect. They were perfect. So they, so I was thinking that, you know, they knew what it was. They got right back on that ladder and climbed that ladder for the rest of their lives because they knew what it was. Thank God for our new nature. We're climbing that ladder too. And we'll be there someday. So let's see, in Isaiah 40, I got this off of the brother the other day when he spoke. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God, but the word of our God stands forever. So don't ever let doubt steal your faith. That's the bottom line. Don't ever doubt God's word. So the bottom line here for believing is believe and don't let doubt steal your faith. Requirement number 3, praying in Christ's name. That is so important for what he has done for us. I was thinking the other day, it was mentioned in church about a month ago or so. It says, somebody mentioned on Palm Sunday that the Lord rode in on a donkey. And a week or so later, they were nailing him to the cross. Now, let me have a second here. I didn't think I was going to get choked up there, but they nailed him to the cross. They were nailing our sins to the cross. He took it all. He paid the price. So praying in Christ's name. In 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And then I got it on the side here, riding in on a donkey. So what a change. Here's a king riding in on a donkey and then taking our sins and nailing them to the cross. John 14:6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. You know, and that's what's saying. When you pray to the Father, you're praying to the Father. You should always pray through the Son when you're praying to the Father. That's the point of this, by the way, praying in Christ's name. John 14:13 says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Christ in our place. Let's go to Romans 5 and let's read 6 through 11. And just pull this toward me. You're afraid of Paul over? This is where it really explains why we pray to the Father through the Son. Let's go to 5, verse 6. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, us." Verse 7. "For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man somebody would even dare to die." How true. And I like this verse because it tells you the true agape love of God. But verse 8, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 9, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Verse 10, "For if when we were enemies and we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And verse 11, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." We got a free gift to heaven. And I'm sorry, you know, pardon me, I think ever since COVID, I think it might have been from the shots, but I'll tell you, I've been draining, so bear with me here as far as, I wanted to tell you my sorrow, so I'm sorry. So the bottom line here is, this is why we pray in Christ's name, pure agape love, the pinnacle of love. Jesus paid it all to him we owe. Christ plus nothing. So that's the third requirement. The fourth requirement is, and I had a little trouble with this one, because I didn't really know how to explain this one to begin with. According to God's will. I said, what is God's will? I got to think of, what is God's will? How are you going to explain that? And obviously, you learn God's will by being in his word to begin with. And so I checked up on a couple of readings on it, and I had two that were saying different words, but were coming together, meaning the same thing. And this is what I have. According to God's will, it's his divine purpose and plan and desire for humanity. Focus on salvation through Jesus Christ. See how important that is? The cross. Sanctification and obedience to his commandments. It involves loving God and loving others. What does that remind you of? It reminds you of the two greatest commandments. Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And that loving thy neighbor, we have a little problem with sometimes. But God tells us that's a command. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And we may get into that near the end here. And living a life of gratitude. You know, and pardon me, maybe I'm going off the wall a little bit. We're a spoiled nation. We always want more. We're so blessed what we have. And God is telling us here, this is God's according to his will. He's saying to live a life of gratitude. You know, let me tell you a story about there were three people that escaped from Russia years ago. He was a designer, he was an engineer at GE. His wife was he was an engineer, his wife was an engineer, and his daughter was a top student at Cornell University at that time. Excuse me. Well, he told me when they escaped from Russia, they came to the United States, and he was shocked when he went into a grocery store here and seen food on both sides of the aisles with food. He says, "You know, at times we were lucky if we had a loaf of bread." He says, "And I seen all this food." He said, "With shock." Gratitude. We don't know what other people go through. And we got everything. What's the first thing we'll probably hear? Man, I gotta watch for myself here. You know, nobody said, you never seem to be satisfied. We got everything that we ever wanted here. Well, what's the first thing you might hear somebody say? Gee, I wish I could hit the lottery. You know? So just never satisfied. God is telling us, though, live a life of gratitude while transforming one's mind. And that's being in God's Word, drawing near to, just like the brother mentioned today, and just like I mentioned a little while ago, draw nearer to God and He will draw nearer to you. So, and you know, be satisfied. Don't forget what the Lord said to Paul. When Paul was requesting something, or maybe his eyesight or so, whatever it is, the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you." And you should feel His grace is sufficient for us, too. We're a very blessed nation, that's for sure. And let me continue on to discern His good and pleasing and perfect will. And as we draw closer to the good Lord, then we will discern His will, obviously. Draw nearer to me, and I'll draw nearer to you. Now, you know, I just this is amazing when he says, all the while exercising free will to choose righteousness over sin. He didn't make robots. He didn't say, "You got to do this." He says, "There's the wide road. You could take this, or you could take this narrow road. That's up to you." He didn't make it like I said. Excuse me, robots. And thank God we took the narrow road. And thank God we got a new nature today because of it. Although maybe in my case it doesn't show very much, but it's we all believe. So that's so important. Let me now just go over the four quickly, the four requirements. Before I want to make a comparison of charity and praying here. But the first requirement, purify your heart before you make your request. Second, believe and do not st and don't let doubt steal your faith. You see what happened in the garden. Three, pray to the Father in Christ's name. Took our place on that cross, pure agape love, the pinnacle of love. And fourth, according to God's will. Let me just briefly go over that a little bit here. His divine purpose and plan and desire for humanity. Focus on salvation through Jesus Christ. Sanctification and obedience to his commandments. And like I say, it involves loving God and loving others, two greatest commandments. So I would like to make a comparison between charity and praying. You know, they say if charity begins at home and stays at home, that's not charity. And I like to as far as praying is concerned, it's nice to pray for yourself. It's nice to pray for your family. It's nice to pray for your brothers and sisters, your church, everything, but don't limit your prayers to yourself. Reach out. Reach out to the world. You know, don't pray for the world system, but pray for the world. People in the world, one of the best, excuse me, I'm getting dry here. One of the best prayers you could probably pray for the world. Oh, I drank that too fast. My going cough. Done with something else. pardon me. But anyhow, let me get back. Praying, one of the best prayers you could probably say in life, pray for revival. Revival in the world. Look what's going on. Reach out with your prayers. You hear a disaster, pray immediately. A lot of times there's a disaster in India. Well, I want to pray for anybody that's India. But you might hear a thousand people lost their lives in India from from construction of the buildings that and I think India had about 0.25% of the world population, maybe at one time anyhow. But you pray, you can't pray for people that are passed on, but you could pray for the people that are still here. Excuse me. Pray for the people, two prayers. You pray for people that are here. Pray for salvation right away, and then pray for comfort. Anyone that you have, excuse me, that you pray for, that loses anybody, you gotta pray for comfort. I love the way Ray has every week on his bulletin. He gives you a list of prayers for what we could pray for. And the thing is, on that list, you say, pray for your government. Pray for your president. Pray for the poor people in Ukraine. It's a horrible thing. They were invaded. They're bombing homes and rents and stuff like this. That has nothing to do with the front lines. But people that go through terrible suffering, and now that the trials that are going through Iran now, and you got to stay with Israel, no doubts about it, because Israel's God's glory. But pray for peace. And so I appreciate what the list that Ray puts out every week of how to pray. And so by ending this message here, I was going to pick out one line from a song, but I think we'll sing it all. But before I mention the song, I want you to think of the wording of the song, what Christ is doing for us. And that's what a friend I have in Jesus. That's in the big book, 435. And just think of what God does for us. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sin and grief to bear. What a privilege is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavily laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he take and seal thee, thou wilt send us solace there. Heavenly gracious Father, we just thank you again for this new day in our lives. And Father, we pray for each and every one, Lord. Keep us near, keep us holy, keep us pure, Lord. Help us to do your will today and every day, Lord. We pray for Phyllis and the work she does in this assembly, Lord. We pray for her recent birthday, that went well. We pray for Pete's birthday today, that he just enjoys his day, Lord. We pray for any birthday that's coming up nearby to be with them, Lord. We pray for, and thank God for Joyce and Rob, safe travel back home, Lord, and being with us today, Lord. And thank you for my son Michael and Lisa. You want to learn anything about hospitality? Those are very hospitable people, believe me. And now, Lord, we pray for each and every one here until we meet again, Lord. Help us to draw nearer to you. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.